Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Always for you, the podcast.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
This is a listener suggestion, suggested by Antiques Freak friend Debbie. Let's talk about Carlton Walkingware.
Ooh, I have not heard of this.
It was suggested and the image provided was just so goddamn weird that I had to find out more.
Wait, is this a little bowls of feet?
Yeah, the little bowls with feet, I believe O.F. Sieri helped us with that comparison with the little Egyptian bowl that also had feet.
Yay!
So I dug into Carlton ware, walking ware, and all that is in between, and it's weird.
Yeah?
Yeah. So just to clarify, walking ware is a pottery that was made around the 1970s that features plain utilitarian dishware objects, notably teapots and teacups, but it went on to expand to include lots of other things, including dishes, which was weird. And they all had brightly colored little legs and shoes, and many of them positioned to look like they were walking or running, sometimes sitting. I'd never heard of them before. It turns out they were incredibly popular, particularly in England. And that is where our story begins. 1890, Stoke-on-Trent, England. Where else would we start a story about pottery? We have a company by James Frederick Wiltshaw, William Herbert Robinson, and James Alcock Robinson. They start the company, inventively named Wiltshaw and Robinson.
Well done, guys.
They would later term it Carlton ware for reasons that remain to me completely unknown in 1894. And their factory was renamed Carlton Works. I couldn't find any reason that they had done this, but fine. Big fans of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I guess.
That was my assumption.
Okay, I'm glad. I was just like, can I get through this whole episode without talking about Fresh Prince? No.
No, we can't. Unpossible.
Can't and won't.
Refuse.
So later they dissolved their partnership. The Robinsons both left and the company became Wiltshaw & Robinson Limited. The Robinson name is still in there, so who knows? James Wiltshaw died in a railway accident in 1918, months after his son returned from the First War.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the company ownership fell to Frederick Cuthbert Wiltshaw, his veteran son. And he ran the company until his death in the 1960s. I included this just because it seems like this company is like weirdly cursed. In 1952, Alice, Frederick Cuthbert Wiltshaw's wife, was brutally murdered in a robbery.
What?
By their former chauffeur, Leslie Green. I also tried to find more on this because brutally murdered and robbery aren't usually paired together.
Yeah, no, usually robbers just want to get the stuff, get in, get out, and if you give them any trouble, they just go, because, like, no one wants the murder charge.
Yeah, and even if they murder, it tends to be, like, a very utilitarian sort of affair. And also, this is established as someone who knew the family. He was convicted and hanged the very same year. Which I don't know a lot about non-American legal process. That seems pretty quick.
I mean, things moved faster legally in the mid-century, but yeah.
Yeah, so the company changed hands multiple times, continued to do well more or less into the 1980s. Rising fuel costs and production costs forced it into receivership in 1989, and it died for good in 1992 after two more companies tried to buy and revive it.
Damn, that sounds cursed to me, my dude.
It's really bad, like... There's a lot of really horrifying things that happened throughout the history. 1997 actually saw the gentleman who ran the Carlton Ware Design Center resurrect the brand, which that seems really fun for him. I hope he's okay.
Hopefully no ancient curse has fallen upon his head. Did they start this company by opening an ancient tomb?
So it's funny you should mention an ancient tomb, Ken.
Oh no.
So Carlton Ware is well known for being incredibly prolific.
Uh-huh.
They started out making blushware, which was hand-painted, usually in limited palettes, reds and pinks, but very pretty, and the one word that I saw repeatedly to describe Carlton Ware's entire oeuvre over the years was garish, which seems judgy.
Fun.
They made a lot of, like, typical florals, decalware, the kind of thing you would expect in the 1890s. In the 1920s, were inspired by the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb and the art that was found within.
Yes! Wait, Dee, can I, like, skip ahead? Are these actually based on the ancient Egyptian football?
No, I can't prove or deny that they were. The person who would go on to design walking wear was actually, like, brought into the company later.
Okay.
I did find it extremely odd that these things coincided, and then you also said, were they cursed by the opening of a tomb? Possibly, apparently.
For the record, the King Tut's tomb being cursed thing is thoroughly debunked, and most of the people who opened the tomb died of old age. It was just the one guy who happened to get one infection as a fluke. Enjoy.
And he got the infection somewhere else, so...
Yeah, a significant time later.
He was an adventurer, he went somewhere else, got sick. but yeah, I don't know. Maybe Carlton Ware was the one who actually got stuck with the curse. As it was, when they say inspired, I find that they pretty much just copied paintings found on the inside of the tomb, which I think is really fun and inventive. Carlton Ware's whole, their whole life kind of is exemplified by being incredibly unusual and brightly colored and not like anything I'd seen before. So, they go on to kind of typify Art Deco as the design evolves around the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb. A lot of people do consider that kind of like the linchpin of what made Art Deco Art Deco.
It is quite a look.
And in the 1970s, elsewhere, was a designer by the name of Roger Michel. He is a true Renaissance man. He was described as an artist, illustrator, potter, writer, poet.
That's several
things. Yeah, right? He's a couple things. Now, they had actually made, he and his partner, Danka Napierkowska, they made walking wear themselves in their own studio called Luster Pottery in the 1970s. And in 1974, they approached Carlton Ware to sell the license. And so Carlton Ware began to manufacture walking wear. It took off so well immediately that they started having little branching types of walking wear. There was running, jumping, and standing still walking wear, and big feet walking wear, which, you know, I think you can imagine all those what those encapsulate. And walking wear continued to be very popular until the company's death.
Dang.
It's... I can't get over how weird they are.
No?
For the most part, up, like, the early, I'd say, like, the first two-thirds of the designs, they're all wearing Mary Janes.
Just cause.
I think my favorite is a creamer that has a peg leg. Later, I did see some designs of tea sets where they were wearing some 1970s-style block high heels.
Fun.
For the most part, it really is just, like, a lot of Mary Janes. Just a big old teapot wearing shoes.
Like you do.
I am admittedly out of my element on these because they were made so late into, like, the whole vintage thing. And also, there's just, like, not a lot of information on them, which I thought was unusual because they are, by all rights, incredibly popular and in many ways typify the Carlton Ware Pottery Company, to the point where I was surprised that walking wear was one of the last things they made.
Really?
But yeah, the original walking wear pieces were teapot, sugar bowl, milk jug, coffee, water jug, soup bowl, mug, salt, pepper, a plate, which again, that seems like a hindrance, a biscuit barrel, which I have figured out that they mean cookie jar.
Because in England, it's a biscuit instead of a cookie.
That makes sense, but they do have, like, jar in England, right? Like, the word jar?
I believe so, but biscuit barrel has delightful alliteration.
You know what? Now that you've said it, you're completely correct. I stand correct. I actually do think, in your American tongue, I have found that biscuit barrel is far more preferable. So you know how sometimes when something is difficult to find information on, you end up seeing a lot of articles that are ripping off of each other in an endless net?
Yeah.
The one that I found, this one really hit me because, for the most part, I just think, and here's the thing, look, I love it, and that's unusual. I don't usually like 70s kitsch.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you liked kitsch.
You think I like 70s kitsch? No, I like 80s kitsch and 60s kitsch.
Oh, see, I put all kitsch into the category of get out of my eyes. I haven't been distinguishing between decades.
No, there are kinds of kitsch that I like, but I find that, like, the cutesy-ish kitsch, like the kind that Martha Stewart would collect, tends to just kind of, like, you know, I don't actively dislike it. It's just kind of like it passes through my brain like a ghost.
I see. You got ghost brain.
I got ghost brain. But the more I kept looking at walking wear, the more I was just like, I actually would buy this. Like, I kept thinking to myself, like, except for the plate, I think that's dumb. I think its little legs would get snapped off and it would make eating out of it difficult. But, like, I just kept thinking, like, oh, these are really, like, they're stupid, but they're cute. They very firmly occupy that, like, it's so dumb, it's cute again. The description I found of them was that the success of walking wear was often put down to its ability to capture the freedom and the sense of newfound optimism of the 1970s.
Huh.
So, like, I don't
Disco
know.
Fever needs some walking wear?
I'm staring at an egg cup that's wearing little polka-dotted socks and green Mary Janes, and I'm trying to see what about it gives me the sense of freedom and newfound optimism.
Listen, these little bowls can go wherever they want. They got legs and they know how to use them.
Is that literally the comparison? Is like they've got little legs, which that's freedom?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I really like your explanation. Yeah, I really hope that that is the actual explanation, and from now on, in my heart, it is. I'm sorry, I had a couple of pictures up to so that I would maybe be able to describe them better, because I'm not generally very good at descriptions. And I did find a pair of walking wear cups that are kneeling with portraits of Charles and Princess Diana.
Huh.
As well as one that is kneeling for the Queen's Jubilee.
Well...
So I...
That's, huh.
And never let it be said that the English can't be just as tacky as the Americans.
I was going to say fun-loving. Whimsical, perhaps.
Oh, okay. Well, I say tacky because I do not like the rich. So there was going to be, that's my, like, I don't like royalty.
You don't bow to the crown?
I bow to no crown. So since a lot of these, like, designs were very simple and also made post-industrial revolution, post-several industrial revolutions, to be honest, fakes became a problem pretty quickly. However, I would say that of all of the companies, Carlton was the most protected because of all of the issues with... We talk a lot about color when it comes to, like, fake pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, in their right mind, would ever be able to match the intensely vibrant colors that Carlton Ware was capable of doing.
Yeah?
So I think color is actually your very first, like, your first defense against fakes. They used intensely vibrant colors that were standardized through the company. And so a very, like, very simple, like, image search of the original piece will give you, like, a pretty strong basis for what that color should look like. And in general, the fakes that I have poured through are all very dull. I found that interesting. That's usually not the case. Usually the fakes are more vibrant. Carlton is truly unique in that.
Well done, Carlton.
Carlton is one of those rare, wonderful companies that had pretty consistent backstamping.
Oh, so there's always a mark on it?
There's always a mark on it, and the marks are always pretty distinctive.
That's refreshing.
Yeah. So it should always say Carlton Ware Illustre Pottery Mark or Carlton Ware England underneath one of the feet. That is second in your line of defense against fakes, is it will be on the foot. And the fakes usually forget to mark the foot.
Huh.
And they have two major backstamps for walking wear, which is the crown backstamp and the script backstamp. The crown backstamp is the easiest to find fakes on because for whatever reason, I assume because of that same, like, everyone copying each other's work that shows up in, you know, reporting, they all have Carlton Ware LTD. But it was not a limited company when it was using the crown backstamp.
Oho, gotcha.
And the crown backstamp in general was incredibly rare to be seen on walking wear at all because it was one of their Victorian backstamps.
Got him!
It's a little tougher with the script backstamp, but for the most part, it is the absence of either the made in England or quote-unquote trademark. Actually, some of the really bad fakes just put Carlton Ware in, like, block text instead of script.
Wow, not even trying.
Just not even trying. And none of the fakes were ever manufactured with lusterware on them. Because I guess a lot of people really didn't do the homework and knew that Luster Pottery was the original creator of walking wear.
Oh. Study up.
Well, I mean, when you're buying things, best thing to do is to just kind of know your P's. Also, anything with a face.
Yeah?
The walking wear is, I think most of their charm comes from the fact that they do not have a dumb little idiot face. There is, like, a whole page of stupid little idiot face pieces that have dumb, horrible faces that I hate. So, I think you're in luck in that, like, ripping off a company that built itself on being extremely distinctive and unique is going to be pretty tough. I also just wanted to add, one of the most commonly ripped off pieces, and I find this so exciting because looking at it makes me happy, is a conical sugar shaker that is sitting down with its little feet splayed on either side of it.
Aww.
I guess people just didn't see the point of a cone-shaped sugar shaker, and, like, they just didn't make it for very long. As a result, it is one of the pricier pieces.
It's so cute.
It was so hard to admit to myself, these things are cute.
Can't deny.
I want a teapot that looks like it's trying to run away from me. There's another issue with Carlton Ware, which is the fact that up until pretty much the last couple of years, there was actually, like, a spin-off of it.
Oh?
Well, yeah, because like I mentioned before, the man who ran the Carlton Ware Design Museum had it remade. But in typical people who know what they're doing fashion, they made the marks extremely distinctive from old Carlton Ware.
Ah.
These usually have both the script mark and the crown mark. Or at least in one case, it has a crown mark that is distinctive and not, like, instead of being a filled-in stamp, the bird is an outline, and it says Made in England. Or the coronet mark, I believe, is the correct way to say that. And some of the other ones also just have the script marking, but with a TM over it, which is how you know it is a new piece. So, I mean, hats off to them. I don't think enough people make the markings different enough when they redo old pieces.
Good work, team. Good hustle.
What I also found out that I thought was interesting is Walking Wear kind of came back recently, like the hype over it. So I guess a lot of places were telling people to just sort of keep your head on a swivel because, like, I guess more fakes are coming.
Oh,
I can't speak to that because, again, I only became made aware of it recently. So, I mean, it's just something to keep in mind.
Right on.
And that's a short, sweet discussion of Walking Wear. I don't know why it's so mysterious. If you have any more info, I would absolutely love to hear it. I would like to know as much about these charming little walking cups as I can.
Hell yeah. I do have the Met Museum page for the little ancient Egyptian football open real quick, and I'd like to read from it briefly.
Oh, I hope you will.
Just because it is such a charming little piece. So, bowl with human feet, circa 3900 through 3650 BC. So, 250 year range, this bowl could have been made.
Listen, it's iconic.
It is pre-dynastic, which is interesting.
Oh, wow, that is interesting.
And reading directly from the item description. This simple round bowl, tipped slightly forward as if to offer its contents, has two such feet solidly attached to its underside. Made from Nile clay, the bowl has a smooth, slipped, and polished surface, giving it a light sheen. The bowl standing on its feet is very similar in form to the Egyptian hieroglyph meaning to bring. So, not only is it adorable, but it's a pun!
I love this ancient pun bowl. And I think that that says something very, very iconic about humanity, which is that, like, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
We always love a pun.
Later in the 1970s, another man would just go, wouldn't it be funny if this bowl had feet?
And he was right.
And he was right.
And that man was Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham James Howard Lincoln. The third. Thanks for coming to our new podcast, Arduous Metaphors. Sources today include CarltonWareWorld.com, because we have to have one. WorldCollectors.net features Carlton Ware, MyAntiqueMall.com, Carlton Ware, and WalkingWare.co.uk, which is a weird website. I don't know what it's there for, but it did have information nonetheless. They actually have a link to a PDF sample of a book that I don't think ever got published that does have some of the different kinds of walking wear listed, and they're nice pictures.
Yay! If you would like to tell us more about walking wear, or just say hello, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, on our subreddit, r/antiquesfreaks, or tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
As you may have guessed from the existence of this episode, it's also a great way to get us to talk about something you're interested in. If you liked us talking about dishes with feet and would like us to talk more about that, you can leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast, and it'll say, I think the antiques are bum, but I would like to hear about more inanimate objects that have feet, thank you.
Bun-turned feet.
Bun-turned feet.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes and get our special commentary track for the movie The Little Stranger that we did with our friends at the Terrible Book Club podcast, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love. And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.